Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear. Declare your independence. Our last show we're going to be doing up in Washington State, northeastern part of the Canadian, Idaho, and Washington border up there on the Columbia River. We made a new friend, came and visited us here at the ranch, the farm, or whatever up here, and we're going to go by Sparta. Now, she's a Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and she's for Canadian Police for Freedom. And what got her activated was, we're going to find out, you know, the why. People that have this kind of disposition of resistance to just because somebody's in a lab coat said you got to take this here vaccine and so on. And, yeah, I don't think so. And then what? Especially in Canada. And you saw what happened to the Canadian trucker convoy and how they just took their money and, you know, said a bunch of stuff that wasn't so. And who believes this? Where is the support for the Canadian officers that are going, I vote no? You know, are you allowed to vote? No. Do you get to vote in Canada? Do you have any rights in Canada? Is there a constitution in Canada? Is there a listed Bill of Rights for Canadians? You ask them, it's whatever the Crown says. But what happens is there are a lot of these things that we as Americans don't know. A lot of Canadians don't know. So here we have law enforcement that's been doing it for almost 2 decades and then came up against, are you freaking kidding me? So she's organized. Now she's in legal action with the Canadian government, so we got to be a little bit of clandestine. We're not going to, you know, give out her phone number or anything. But we're going to have a nice conversation with Sparta. Now, let's go ahead and just say hello and all the things that you can say about yourself so that people know who we're talking to and your involvement in this cause. Go ahead and introduce yourself, will you, Sparta?
Hello. Thank you, Ernie, for having me on the show today. Hello, beautiful America. I'm really glad to be here today to share my story with the listeners of this podcast. And, yeah, it's important that we get our story out because we've been silenced up in Canada. And the more we talk about it, the faster we heal.
Well, what is it that we're talking about? I want to get, you know, this is my interest in why I wanted to talk to you. We have been in opposition to government overreach on all kinds of stuff. On this show, the only purpose of government is the defense of individual rights. If it's not doing that, then why are they there? You know, and you were one of the very people that were there to defend individual rights. Or were you? We need to get a bead on the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and what that encompasses. Is that the level? Is it a federal thing? Is that the FBI? Is there a national police? Is there each one of the local polices is part of, you know, the Mounted Police? You know, describe your job without getting too specific. You know, I don't want to get you in trouble. But, you know, that's up to you. Whatever you say is not my fault, okay? You know, I'll ask all kinds of questions. You don't have to answer them. But the I need to understand the police in Canada have a boss as what? A mayor, a state, you know, a province? You know, Trudeau is your Sieg Heil leader? How does that work?
Yes, so good question. So in Canada, we have the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, that is the federal police force of the country. So it is, yes, mandated by the federal government, right? But we also have provinces, right? So all the provinces have RCMP. Most of the rural places have RCMP as their main police force. But then you can also break it down certain provinces. So Ontario and Quebec, for example, have their provincial police forces. So in Ontario, it's the Ontario Provincial Police. And in Quebec, it's the Sûreté du Québec, right? So those are provincial police forces. They're the only two provinces in the country that also have provincial police forces. Now we also have...
Provincial, is that like a state?
Yes, it's the equivalent to the state in the U.S.
Okay.
So in Canada, so we also have municipal. So that would be your kind of, like your city police. So we don't have, we have sheriffs, but they're not the same in Canada as they are in the U.S. So let me take you guys back to the municipal police. So municipal police forces are cities that decide to have their own police force. So there's numerous in the country. So, for example, if I just take British Columbia, where I live, we have, like, Nelson Police Department, Victoria. We have Vancouver Police Department. So these are, like, examples of municipal police departments, right?
Well, what's the hierarchy? Let me give you an example. In America, let's say I'm in Phoenix, okay? I got the Phoenix Police Department. They pull you over, man, they're going to give you a ticket, going to get something, you know, whatever they do. Then you have the state police, which is like the Highway Patrol, Department of Public Safety, in different states call them whatever. So you got the state police, it's kind of under the governor. Then you have the local police departments. Then each county, you know, in each state has their own sheriff. The sheriff in America, which is what we've been learning over the past 30 years, is that the sheriff is the highest ranking authority because they're elected by the people. So that's supposed to be the sheriff done said, you know, kind of thing. Well, when the federal government, the FBI or even the prisons, you know, if you have a federal prison in a county, the highest guy is the sheriff. You know, hey, man, you're my county. You know, now, of course, they outquit it back and forth and who and whatever, and they got all this, you know, manhood measurement thing going on. But the sheriff is the highest ranking authority. If the IRS is going to come in, RAB, BATF, where they're supposed to, coordinate with the sheriff's department. That is the local representative of the people as far as law enforcement goes. Now, how that works in reality is, you know, another thing. But this is the concept, the idea. So you have local, then the sheriff will kind of claim jurisdiction, you know, if they need to or they're outside of a municipality, you have the sheriff. And the feds really are a separate thing. That's when it's a federal crime. If there is something that, if they want to, I mean, you know how it really works. But then you got National Guard that is kind of under the state, but then they have an adjutant general that represents the military, blah, 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 blah. But locally, for most people, if you're in the city limits of where you live, that's the law enforcement that you're dealing with. Then you have the sheriff's department, certainly out of the cities and more rural areas. Like a lot up here, you may have a local police, but generally the sheriff's department that you're dealing with. Then when you get the FBI involved, you done did something wrong. You didn't use somebody's correct pronouns or something. I mean, you know, they're going to come get you. And or you're a mom talking to a school board or something. I mean, you know, really they're getting out of hand. But so in Canada, when I live in, say, Vancouver, okay, is there a Vancouver local police?
Yes, there is.
Okay, and so, then over that if somebody else came in and there's some guy with a shiny badge saying that, no, he's not in charge, I am, who would that be?
So if it's in the municipality, the region of Vancouver, so the greater Vancouver district, then it's the Vancouver Police Department that has jurisdiction. But the RCMP is a federal police enforcement, right?
Do you equate them to like the FBI or they're not really?
So we have sections. So the RCMP is the only police force in Canada that has basically international posts and an array of – it's probably, you know – if you're looking at advancing from a career perspective, the RCMP is the way to go because you're gonna do a lot more than just say Vancouver Police. You're gonna be stuck in Vancouver. In the RCMP, you can go anywhere in Canada, anywhere in the world, really. There's international posts, right? So the mandate. So we have a federal section, but we also have contracts from the provincial government to the RCMP.
Okay.
So in the rural areas, you have RCMP. They have the contract to police those rural areas, right? Let's say British Columbia. I'm just going to bring you back to British because that's where I live. So we have multiple police forces, right? But RCMP are able to enforce all statutes, including federal, provincial, municipal.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so they're pulling out the Vancouver statute book and saying you're in violation of the local whatever and I'm RCMP.
Yeah, so if you were just outside of Vancouver, like, I mean, you're not going to police in Vancouver, so because that's, you know, the jurisdiction is Vancouver Police.
But you can.
Yeah, you're a peace officer 24/7 according to the criminal code, right? So our criminal code is basically the holy book.
So are you armed?
Yes, we're armed.
Are you armed when you're not clocked in?
No.
You're not allowed to be?
No, we're not allowed to be.
What? What the hell good are you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, so, I mean, we're able to take our duty pistol to the range in practice, but if I had a personal pistol, right, a handgun, I'd have to abide just like every other citizen. I'd have to transport it. I'd have to get a permit to transport it. So my handgun at work, right? So my police duty chunk, I should say, I can take it to the range at any time.
Oh,
right?
Oh hell! You know, bad guys are always at
That's
the range.
Right.
You know, this is amazing to me. So I'm sitting here at a restaurant. Bad guy comes in, wants to do harm to whatever, and I go, oh, I got a Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman right here, and you're just throwing your water glass at him. I mean.
Unfortunately,
Sucks.
It sucks. I mean, you know, So I mean, we're peace officers 24/7, and there's an argument that we should be able to carry at, you know, when we're off duty.
An argument everybody should be able to carry. Yeah. Okay.
Right. But Canada's laws, right? We know they've demonized guns, right? And we know as police officers that crimes that are caused by that are involve firearms. Are never a firearm that's in the legal, you know.
It was a legit firearm.
Yes. So it's never a legit firearm. So when we're putting all these restrictions on Canadian citizens that you can't have this, you can't have. So right now in Canada, currently, I have a restricted permit, right? This has nothing to do with my service as a police officer. I have a restricted permit. I'm able to carry or go to the range and shoot a handgun, right? Because a handgun is considered a restricted firearm in Canada. Any handgun.
Is anything else considered restricted?
So like the police.
Well, I mean, you know, you say a handgun. Well, what if I got an AR-15?
No, AR-15s are banned in Canada.
Okay, so what is allowed? A 12 gauge?
Yeah, you can have shotguns.
Oh,
you can have
rifles. Hell, I'm free then.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So,
you know, see, this concept of legitimate tools is, you know, to America, well, you know, in America, you know, a lot of states are, you know, probably as or more restrictive, but, you know, Arizona, I mean, we're kind of, you know, what, you don't have your gun? What are you doing outside, boy?
That's right.
You know, I mean, so it's just a different mentality. And one thing I want to, on the jurisdictions A good example is because Arizona is a border state, and you'll have these border checkpoints, which is, you know, whatever they say it is, but the they always have a sheriff's department there, a guy, because the border guys don't really have the jurisdiction of a lot of things, and then the sheriff, they'll contract out some deputy, and he'll, you know, they'll let you through, and you didn't, you know, kowtow to him enough, and all of a sudden 2 miles down the road, there's somebody pulling you over, you know, because they can't, you know, that kind of thing. So they give them, the federal government and the border agents don't have the jurisdiction to, like, arrest you. So they need somebody there. They contract, like what you're talking about, that the municipality or the county will contract with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and then they will be able to do it. But do they need that kind of jurisdiction or contract if a mounted policeman sees something, what they can stop anybody anytime, you know, whatever they want to do?
You can stop anytime, but, you know, you all obviously have to make a threat assessment, right? I'm not carrying, and I see an offense. Am I going to go run into this offense?
No, I'm talking about when you're on duty, but when you're
on duty,
it sounds like you're useless, but, you
yes.
know. The
so when you're on duty, if you saw something, like if I was just traveling through, you definitely have jurisdiction. Like you're able to, you know, intervene and then call the authorities of that jurisdiction, right, to take over. Because it's not your file. So I may be in another RCMP district, right? That's I'll give you an example. I could be working in Burns Lake, and then I'm traveling to outside of Vancouver. And I see something happening, and I'm in uniform. Let's say I was down there for training. I mean, I'm going to stop. I'm going to radio. I'm going to get the local RCMP to attend and take over the file, right?
So there's not a restriction on you being a law enforcement as RCMP anywhere in Canada. I mean, you have the authority. You flip on your lights and pull over.
Yes, you do.
So I'm trying to get, you know, an equation to where Americans can understand the power of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Because, and you ride horses? Get a horse?
No.
They don't train you on horses anymore?
They have
a cool
musical
hat, though.
So they have the musical ride. So you can actually apply to partake in, you know, the section of where the horses are, right? So you'd ride horses, and you basically do that for entertainment purposes. Like, you know, it's called the musical ride. It's actually really, really beautiful, very orchestrated. You know,
the ornamentation.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
So
now you've been an officer for how long?
So I was a sheriff prior. So there's sheriffs in Canada as well. So sheriffs are provincial law enforcement. They're not necessarily police. But every province that has sheriffs, not all provinces have sheriffs.
How many provinces are there?
Oh, you put me on the spot here. I don't know.
Not 50. I mean, you know, it's a dozen or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So we got, you want me to name them?
Well, I just need to know
there's not like 50 states. No, no.
Yeah, they're big states.
Dozen, yes.
I mean, you got Alberta. What's Quebec in? Is that its own province?
Yes,
Quebec. And then, you know,
BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. Ontario, Quebec,
EI. Single digits. I mean, it's not like,
that's right.
You know, they're pretty big. Well, so you have a provincial level that you were a sheriff at that has like a state police that makes up like, I don't know, 3 Montanas or something. But anyway, so you have, you know, a big area that you were a sheriff in.
So they
call them deputies or your sheriff?
Deputies.
Deputy?
Yeah, deputies.
Okay.
So some provinces have chosen to have sheriffs, and those are more like a marshal, actually. So it's more like a U.S. Marshal. So they basically manage prisoners. They have the authority to execute warrants, but they mainly work out of the court system. So managing prisoners, transports of prisoners, jury duty, court security.
And in America, it might be constable level. They have whatever, law enforcement.
Yeah. So
then you were sheriff for how long?
13 years.
So okay, is that part of your 19 years?
Yes, that's part of
it. I mean, yeah, you're an officer at six or something. I mean, you're not that old. You know, this is, I mean, you look like, you know, I ain't saying, you know, she looks young. Okay, let's put it that way. I can give a number, I get in trouble.
Well,
but
I feel like I'm 86, so I may be in my 40s, but I'm feeling like I'm in my 80s.
You're in your
40s? I'm in my 40s, yes.
Yeah, I was wondering, man, you know, because 19 years, damn. You know, you start when you're a teenager or something.
That's right, yeah.
You're looking good eating it organic. So this is a goal of yours or most law enforcement. They want to segue into Royal Canadian Mounted Police. That's the goal.
Well, all police forces in Canada are having major, major recruitment issues right now and retention, mm-hmm. right? Especially after the pandemic response. Most really good police officers, a lot of good police officers retired and resigned from the forces, all sorts of forces. Like,
what
not
kind
just
of percentage do you think?
I don't know. I don't have those numbers. So we contact the union, right? Like, so our different unions, right? We have unions. As police officers, we have unions, depending if you're VPD or RCMP, whatever. We have a union, right? And we've asked them for those questions, like how many people, you know, even with the vaccination statuses, we asked how many people didn't want to take the vaccine, right? Exercise the right to bodily autonomy. The majority of police officers did not want to take this experimental inoculation. I don't even want to call it a vaccine. Right? I'm not going to get into
Let me give you an example. There's 100 officers that you know in your group of whatever. How many of them said no initially, and then how many were left that said no, 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 not doing it, they get fired?
Unfortunately, Ernie, very few that said actually no.
Right? So out of 100, 1, 3, 5?
Yeah, maybe 3 to 5.
Really?
Is what I'm looking. I don't have the statistics in front of me.
Well,
but
just kind of
just a guess,
just from
a guess
you know, your impression. And then, so were there any others in your group or your jurisdiction or people that you know you worked with that said no also?
Just one other person, one other guy. So we were the only two, from my knowledge.
Yeah.
That said no, like we're not taking this. There was other members that were saying, I don't want to take it, but at the end of the day, they had to take it in order to keep employed. So,
okay, when we come back, we're going to get into it. You know, we wanted to make sure you kind of got who we're talking to, you know, the jurisdiction, what level they are, how law enforcement is done in Canada. And I want to just kind of get an idea of, you know, how it's structured. Who are your superiors? We'll get more into that when we get back. You know, what's the chain of command? How, you know, who's in charge? What is it? Trudeau appointed this guy that's in charge of this guy, this guy. We want to see where it comes from. And, you know, Sparta's going to express herself as we get further when we come right back.
It's so easy, it's a sin, you're going to want to jump right in. You can always depend on propaganda. Life is so hard, so confusing. Everyone's just trying to make ends meet. You can brighten up their day, keep the facts out of their way. Just simplify their complex, repeat, repeat, repeat. Propaganda, propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. A majority of voters believe federal prosecutors have a strong case against former President Trump in the U.S. Capitol riot probe. That's according to a new Harvard University Capps Harris poll. It found 57% of registered voters think that prosecutors have either a strong or very strong case against Trump. Protests are rocking Israel after Parliament passed a law weakening that country's Supreme Court. This Israeli military reservist is criticizing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
I'm ashamed of him. I think he's the first dictator of Israel. I think he's lost his heart.
The measure removes the court system's ability to strike down unreasonable government decisions. Whataburger is heading further west. The Texas-based burger chain will open their first restaurant on the Las Vegas Strip. It will be located at the Waldorf Astoria and open 24 hours a day. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it. I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here on the Free Talk Live Network. We have Sparta, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, that is, said no. You know, you got to take this, you know, this here notion and potion from the crown. I vote no on that. You know, oh, the crown wants to give me a notion and potion injected into my flesh, and I think I'll decline. Oh, you're not allowed. Not allowed, not allowed, not allowed. Well, I say, I am. What are you going to do? Well, what'd they do, Sparta? They said, you know, how long were they sitting there, you know, tapping their foot with a clipboard saying you had to before finally you're, you know, let go?
So November, I think the mandates came into play November 15th, 2021.
Oh, right? It went that long. Okay.
Yes, so they said every police officer has to be vaccinated. Now, some police forces decided not to go ahead with this because...
Hey, before you get to the mandate, when did they start encouraging, allowing, wanting you to do it? I mean, this started in early 2020.
Spring.
So when did they... Okay, we got it. Everybody should do it. You should. It's friendly advice from the crown. You know, the friendly advice went how long before it wasn't so friendly anymore?
Yeah, so the pandemic was declared March of 2020, right? That's when all the lockdowns happened right. Everywhere, right? So we're watching the death tolls rising.
Waiting for
right?
the body bags to the pile
body
up. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
So I worked the front lines during that time. And I have to say that...
Front line of what?
The front lines, like, you know, policing. So I was in the front lines of whatever was happening. So we had barely any calls. There was nothing going on. Like, literally, I was driving around, like, trying to find something to do. There was, because everything was on a lockdown. So
Yeah. There
was really no crime. Nothing was happening. Nobody was coming out of their homes.
April of 2020, we were bringing the bus back. We were building it out and everything. We were getting ready to hit the road. And we went from Maine to Arizona, and it was 18-wheelers and us. It was like a dystopian sci-fi movie.
Absolutely.
It was weird.
I know.
There was nobody on nothing. And when we did get stopped one time, and, your registration on the paper, we go COVID. They didn't go, it goes, okay. You know, everything was COVID delayed, you know, so it's COVID.
Everything was COVID.
So during that time, it didn't start opening up until, I guess, later that summer. I don't know. We weren't really paying attention, you know, until we hit the road in May. And it still was, I mean, you're going through rush hour traffic. There was no rush hour. That was amazing. So in Canada, you had the same experience until when? When did it start opening up and when did they start doing the mandate? I kind of get a timeline. Yes. Walk us through your experience.
Yeah, so every province had its own, because they have their own jurisdiction, right? So the federal government mandates something, but the provinces kind of decide for themselves to some extent, right? So British Columbia was actually pretty good during the beginning of all this, right? We have our health official, Dr. Bonnie Henry. I don't know if she's an actual real doctor, but sometimes we wonder. Dr. Bonnie Henry, she was really calm throughout the whole pandemic, right? She was, you know, at the beginning, she was really encouraging people to be mindful and thoughtful of others, right? Social distancing, the mask thing. She had not actually even made a mask mandate. So at the beginning, it was kind of like very, you know, even with us, it was an unfolding event, unprecedented. We've never seen anything like that. Our police, our supervisors. Oh, if someone's not wearing a mask, once the mandates hit, the mask mandates, probably around April or May, someone doesn't want to wear a mask. You know, just deal with it. You have tactical communication skills. We have a use of force model that we use in all police services in Canada. That's basically, you know, communication is something that's continuous, right, throughout the use of force model. You're not going to just go grab somebody because they don't comply to something, right? Communication and officer presence, right? So it's like basically like a little it basically dictates on how a police officer should approach a scene or whatever, or a complaint, right? So, you know, they were pretty easygoing. They're like, you know, use discretion, talk to people through this, support people. That's what we're supposed to do as police officers. People were afraid, right? There's this novel virus hitting the streets. You're going to die, right?
Right.
People were terrified. Well, so it wasn't, you know, it was kind of pretty easy going.
Because everybody was complying. They're like, all right, the man said, I, you know, go here, don't go there, sit, and we're good, we'll wait this thing out. And then it started getting mandated.
Well, like then the summer of 2021, so we kind of reopened things, right? BC was pretty good. They said, you know, we're going to just like use precautions. We're going to open, we're going to try to, you know, keep things going.
So they had closed restaurants and bars and stuff.
Yes.
Were you guys enforcing that? I mean, you know, we got pastors getting arrested and gyms that won't close and restaurants kiss my butt. And you just shoot those people or what?
No. So those at that time, there was not really any enforcement. There was even, you know, this the status quo of, oh, this is a public health issue, not a police issue. We're not going to go shut down businesses. We're not going to go tell people to put on a mask. Like, you basically, you keep the peace.
Yeah,
so
but
you
they
show
did,
up.
Though. They closed. It was more voluntary.
So it was closed.
There was no outliers.
People closed, and the government gave them, you know, some financial compensation, right? So they said, please close your businesses. You're going to kill people if you keep, you know, stay open.
You don't want to kill grandma.
Yeah, you don't want to kill grandma. So everybody complied for most part. They were like, okay, it's just a swift, short lockdown, we thought. You know what? We're gonna
flatten the curve.
Right.
2 weeks.
Exactly. So there really wasn't much of enforcement. Like we had, I remember, you know, stopping an American plate, right? Like there were, I can't remember what state it was, but a lot of people were saying they were going to Alaska. So they would come through Canada. Right, and then they weren't going to Alaska, they were hanging out, right? So we didn't really know how to deal with this. It's like, how are we going to deal with this, right? We're told there's no travel. What are these people doing? Because they would get like a 24-hour pass to go through Canada, right? But it was pretty easy going at first, and then things changed all of a sudden.
Okay, all of a sudden it changed to what and when?
So it became a little bit more tyrannical towards, you know, the following year, right? Because in 2020, it wasn't as bad, right? So 2021 is when I started to see more of the tyrannical regime.
Okay, now was it, there was more compliance and more insistence in Montreal, you get Toronto, you're back in, you know, the eastern part of Canada. And then them damn freaking British Columbians, they're not playing. You know, we're going to have to make them. Alberta's got to come under the, you know, freaking thumb of. You know, was it that kind of thing? Because they weren't as compliant as they were back east, and they're just wanting to even everybody out, and they're going to enforce it? Or was there resistance across the country? Or why do you think then and what they did? What was the reason you weren't afraid enough? I mean, what was behind the mandates?
Well, the numbers, they kept telling us that, you know, flattening the curve, this is not happening. We need to really crack down, right? So, like, people are dying. That was kind of the narrative that was sold to people. I didn't see people dying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was on the front lines. Like I said, there was no, the hospitals were empty, completely empty.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean,
body bags piled up like cordwood out front or anything.
No.
Which they tried to give you the impression, the tents and all. And we had activists going in, video with their phones going, there's nothing going on here. What are they talking about? The rhetoric that you were getting, the fear-mongering, the newscast, it didn't parallel with anything you were seeing.
No. And in fact, so the hospital, so they were doing this at 6 p.m. every evening. People were banging pots and pans and had like, you know, like to show respect to the healthcare workers and first responders, right? So we would actually do this little convoy in our town, right? We would drive around, you know, in front of the hospital and people, sirens, police, fire, ambulance, and everybody would be like outside with pots and pans. Thank you very much for everything you've done. Well, we really haven't done much, right? Like, this is the quietest policing has ever been, right? But anyways,
so it was a fear campaign.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just you're not feared enough. We're going to make you feared. We're going to get you feared somehow. And the mandates come in, and you were expected to then change police tactics. Was more about enforcement.
Right. So I think it was the summer of 2021 where the federal government started to say, we're thinking of mandating for all federal government employees, because the shots didn't come out till like the spring of 2021, mm-hmm. right? And they were encouraging, and the first people that got it were First Nations people, and the elderly. Right, and then they also provided those shots, or they gave us the option for first responders. They encouraged first responders. You guys are first on the line here. Come and take this vaccine.
Okay, give me your definition of encouragement.
Do your civil duty. It's your obligation. You know, you need to protect your citizens, the immunocompromised of the neighborhood. You're going into people's homes. You're responding to sick people. You know, you really need to take this vaccine. You know, do your part as a citizen of Canada. Do your part.
And if you're not, you're a grandma killer.
Yes, but it was not mandated. Like, I had to go to the hospital for a test, and I literally got grilled by the nurse. She was like in disbelief, her jaw dropped. She says, you're a police officer, you're a first responder, and you're not vaccinated? I said to her, no, I'm not vaccinated, and I'm not taking this. This is brand new. Like, I just at least want an opportunity to kind of assess
you
first. This.
Yeah.
Like, I want to assess this. I'm not taking this right now. It's experimental. It's not experimental, right? We're going on around in circles.
BS, yeah.
And it's like, well, the technology alone... mRNA, right? I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not here to speak on how it works. I just know it's brand new technology. So right there, there's going to be hesitancy. And we need to respect that.
How long were you encouraged heavily, you know, to take the vaccine? This is encouragement goes how long until mandate?
So... that was spring of 2021, and then by the summer of 2021, it's now getting cracking down. Yes, cracking down. So the whole vaccine campaign, right? They have people dancing on the streets, healthcare workers making videos. We got it all over every newscast channel, TV. I mean, the amount of vaccines in arms that I don't watch news. I don't watch mainstream media, right? But once in a while, you gotta know your enemy, so you gotta turn the TV on just to see what they're telling people so that you can counter it. So when you're talking to people who are really brainwashed, because that's all they watch is CBC, which is, I guess it's maybe the equivalent of CNN, possibly. I don't know.
BBC.
Yeah, so it's the Canadian... BS Corporation, right?
All right, Canadian Broadcast Network. Or
that's
something.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
this is turning into Yagata, and there was somebody got a memo from somebody somewhere, and that's why I wanted to get the hierarchy of law enforcement there. So it came from what? The Parliament? Trudeau just did the equivalent of executive order decree of I am the king or something, and said, now you got to. And I remember him saying some nasty stuff. You showed me a video, I want to mention, of the Canadian police with speakers going down the street, you know, curfew's in effect, get in your homes and 10 to 6 and we'll kick your ass if you don't, kind of whatever. Them going up and down the street, law enforcement in cars, on bicycles, they're sweeping the streets.
Yes.
So people are taking videotapes of this. What the crap? What is it, China? You know, so it really, and in China they had speakers on drones. I mean, they're like chasing people. Hey, get your ass in, you know, that kind of deal. Then they weld the door. I mean, this is, it got really, and then they got their, these like FEMA camps or these camps or COVID camps or whatever the heck. Was there any of that going on in Canada?
There was. So Quebec was the province that chose to really execute this whole police state. So, you know, it no longer was the Canada that I was born in, right? It was like I was actually born in Montreal. So my family sending me videos. They're saying this is what's happening right now in Quebec. That, we didn't see that in BC, but in Quebec, full on curfews. People were beaten on the streets. If they didn't comply, they were getting arrested under the Quarantine Act for disobeying a quarantine act. But the thing is, the whole thing is unconstitutional because you can't. The government has failed to demonstrably justify this pandemic, right? So numbers were fudged. We know that now. They lied.
You don't say. Okay, we'll get into
they were untruthful.
Constitution and all that because they don't care. I mean, that we kind of figured that out. But
Let's talk about the hierarchy of the police services. So if we take the RCMP, right? So we have the head of the RCMP, the commissioner. They're the boss of all.
Okay, it's
of
like our equivalent of FBI director or something like that. Is it a cabinet position? Is it appointed by Trudeau?
So it's appointed. So it's appointed by the federal government. So the federal government, whoever's in power, appoints this commissioner. So in our case,
Trudeau's
it's Brenda. Yes.
Okay. So,
Trudeau appointed Brenda Luckey, and actually, she's the first woman commissioner of the RCMP.
Well, hell, whatever she says, then is okay.
So, believe it or not,
misogynist, you're not listening to the woman telling you to get masked and vaccined up. You know, what kind of bigot are you? Blah, 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 blah. See, they play this game, okay? So the first woman commissioner in charge, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, good person, bad person, what?
So, well, she didn't stand with the people, didn't stand with the members, right? And so there's a lot of disappointment there. I don't know if she's a bad person, and I know she's got good because I have met her.
Just doing my job.
But that's the thing. Who knows what kind of blackmail or what kind of coercion she was put under, right? I don't know. I can't speak for that. But I'll tell you what. I met Mrs. Luckey, and I was in a training situation, and I had a cross because I am a Christian. Okay, I'm a Christian. I had a cross. I was not allowed to have this cross in the training facility.
What, is it a necklace or something?
No, it was just an actual crucifix, and I had put it in my room. And I was told, you can't have this cross in your room. It's a very paramilitary organization. And I said, why? You're breaching my charter rights. So the charter rights and freedoms that, you know, it ensures that every citizen in Canada has the right to a belief, you know, to the religious beliefs, right? I mean, Canada was founded on Christianity. What's the problem here? The RCMP was founded on Christianity, right? Christian beliefs. So I actually went to her. Like, I went to the chaplain at the training facility and said, hey, they won't let me wear my cross.
Why was he even there?
Because it's a cultural thing, right? So it's a historical thing. So we have a church.
Seems like they're eating at the edge of your culture there.
That's
you know?
Right. So the chaplain was ready to resign. Like, the guy's been there for, you know, 20-something years, and he said, over my dead body, he said, you're going to have this cross. So we brought Brenda Luckey, who was the head of the training facility at the time. And she said, absolutely, you can have your cross. And she's like, thank you for standing up for your rights. So, you know, this is, a lot of members don't know that, you know, I mean, this was a personal involvement.
You say members, citizens, members of the Royal
Canadian Mounted Police.
Okay.
We call them members.
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 They're member. They're member of the member club. Member or something.
That's right. RCMP members.
So the rights you keep talking about, Canadian rights or spelled out rights. You know, we talk about individual rights. I get to keep breathing in and out and, stuff I make is mine, and you know, somebody tries to stop me from breathing in and out, I get to defend against that. I mean, kind of, you know, some real basic fundamental. And then we got the Bill of Rights, the thou shalt not to government kind of thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Canadian rights. You know, where did that come from? What does that mean? And are they able to be used in defense in court? Is this a thing? Because I'm not getting that impression. They don't want to give that impression. Trudeau is like, I tell you what your rights are. You have the right to do what I tell you, you know. So describe that for us, that this right that you were keen to, but it doesn't seem like anybody else was. You're the only one saying no based on this. Talk about the rights in Canada. What does that mean? Where do you even find that? Can I look it up?
Yes, you can look it up. And, you know, they're actually on the Canadian federal government, the federal government website, it said, you know, vaccination, like they had actually posted that forced vaccination is illegal in Canada, right? We can't force vaccinate people.
Okay, whoa. Where does it say that?
Well, they've removed it since then.
Okay.
So we have the Canadian Bill of Rights, and most people don't even know about that, right? So the Canadian Bill of Rights that was established in 1960.
Canadian school.
No, they don't teach any of that stuff right now.
Really?
Even in policing, right? So in your police sciences, every police academy has police sciences, right? Like you talk about your authorities, your jurisdiction, like how does a police officer get to arrest, like the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, right, that Senior Trudeau actually signed into with the Queen in the 80s, right? The Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And this is the ironic thing. The Charter of Rights and Freedoms ensures all Canadian these rights, right? So free speech, like we'll call it the freedom of expression, religious belief, right to mobility, right? You can move freely from one province to the other without hindrance, right?
I don't know. Sounds like you're taking a meat axe to it.
You have the right to be free from unlawful search and seizure, right? So we, as police officers, we have to know this, right? When someone's arrested, you give them you provide them their section 10A, 10B. So, sir, you're under arrest for assault, whatever. You have the right to instruct counsel in private.
That's kind of Miranda,
right? Exactly.
Kind of thing,
yeah. So if an officer fails to do that, they may have even seen the offense being committed with their own eyes, a murder even. And I'm saying murder is the highest, crime. So.
No, it's not. Noncompliance is. You murdered grandma. Okay, I want to get into this rights thing. We're running up against a break here, and this is a good place to pause. When we come back, I want to, start right in with these rights that Canadians don't even know about. Canadians have a Bill of Rights. You had a right charter thing. Rights of when did that happen? We want to find out when we come back. You're on Declare Your Independence with Sparta. Canadian policewoman, for freedom. How often does that happen? Well, we're going to find out. We'll be right back. This hour, Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash.
Is it
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25% plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.